Today is Friday, August 10th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A response team is in Slocum Arm, north of Sitka, tending to an oil leak from a seine boat. The 50-foot Evening Star sank while fishing on August 2nd. The vessel is about 40 miles northwest of Sitka, along the southwestern part of Chichikov Island. The vessel reportedly had 1,000 gallons of diesel aboard. A mile-long sheen was seen on Tuesday, but as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, state environmental officials say the amount of oil coming from the boat is relatively light.
The oil sheen was visible during an overflight by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. A smaller sheen was visible immediately after the sinking, and it prompted an emergency closure of the nearby salmon fishery. State officials say no impacts to fish or wildlife have been reported, but responders are working to contain the oil. Scott Tiernan is with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
But it's still a sheen, and I'd like to stress that a sheen is a very small quantity of oil. If it's a sheen, there's not much there. It looks like it's terrible because it's this rainbow color, and that's very, very thin, so there's not a whole lot of oil there.
Tiernan said when the vessel went down, the vents on its fuel tank were sealed. What's visible in the water is probably engine oil of some sort. A DEC situation report said the engine room holds approximately 25 gallons of lube oil and a 160-gallon hydraulic oil tank. A response team from SEAPRO deployed from Sitka to contain the oil. SEAPRO stands for the Southeast Alaska Petroleum Resource Organization. The Ketchikan-based group responds to oil spills.
Try to get boom around the vessel so if anything is coming up that they can try to corral it there and then try to pick it up. The oil that's already gotten out will have evaporated quite a bit, so there's even less out there than initially came out. So collecting the stuff that's a mile away from the vessel probably is not practical.
Tiernan says responders are also keeping their eye on the shoreline.
There is a stream in the area that we believe is an anadromous stream or a salmon-bearing stream. And one of the things SEAPRO will be doing is they will be putting what is known as a deflection boom out to try to keep the oil away from the mouth of that stream.
The crew of the Evening Star escaped safely and was transported back to Sitka by a Good Samaritan vessel. The 50-foot seiner, meanwhile, is nose down with about 10 feet of water over its stern. Operations on removing fuel from the vessel and salvaging it are scheduled to begin next week. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
If you're fishing for salmon in Southeast, this probably hasn't been a bonanza year. But the head of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association says things are looking up for the late chum runs. Steve Reifenstuhl talked to the Greater Sitka Chamber of Commerce at its weekly luncheon on Wednesday. As is the custom at chamber lunches, he spoke mostly about the organization itself and the economic impact it has on the region. NSRA operates salmon enhancement programs in 5 locations around the northern part of the panhandle. Between 2001 and 2008, Reifenstuhl says commercial fishermen harvested NSRA salmon with an ex-vessel value of roughly $65 million. Nearly a third of that value came from the peak year of 2008. Reifenstuhl says the vision local fishermen had in the mid-70s when they formed NSRA was amazing.
When fisheries are at their lowest, they decided to tax themselves 3% of their catch on all salmon caught. And to utilize that money to build a program that really was only on paper at the time. And then they had to wait 12, 15 years before they saw the fruits of their labor and the benefits from the money they invested in it.
As for this season, Reifenstuhl says the summer chum run at Deep Inlet was, quote, close to a disaster, but said things are looking up. He says the fish are showing up at Medovici Hatchery and elsewhere.
5 minutes before I got here, I got a call from Eric Jordan, and there are lots of fish out in Sitka Sound. And he's saying lots of three-year-olds, which generally means there'll be a huge number of four-year-olds. Three-year-olds are only a small portion of the run, but there's tremendous numbers is what he thinks. We'll have to look at ourselves, but things are looking good. Hidden Falls on the other side of the island came in at about 1.3 million chum salmon. If you do the math on that times 7, so you're looking at 7.5 million pounds times 8, so $5.6 million in value to the same fishery, roughly. In Southeast, the big news this week is that pink salmon have hit really hard on the southern part of Southeast Noyes Island, which people call the coast, and down around the south end of Prince of Wales Island. There were big catches on Monday and Tuesday, indicating that the run is probably going to be larger. Well, I sort of did some math on it yesterday, and I'm certain that it's going to be larger than the forecast, which was 17 million. I think it'll go well over 20, and others think it might hit 30.
That's NSERA General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl talking about chum returns at Wednesday's meeting of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. You can link to NSERA's website through ours, kcaw.org. Nearly 80 years ago, the tide pools around Sitka inspired a pair of naturalists, Ed Ricketts and Jack Calvin, who went on to transform the way we think about marine biology. Last week, a new set of researchers came to town to explore the same beaches and remind Sitka of its place in history of science. Rachel Waldholtz reports.
This is the Leptosteriis.
It's 5:30 in the morning and low tide at Sage Beach, next to the Sitka Sound Science Center. Researchers from the Science Center, UC Santa Cruz, and the University of Alaska Southeast have laid out a grid of measuring tape and are crouched over the rock, taking a look at what the low tide has exposed. Maya George is a researcher at UC Santa Cruz.
Every 10 centimeters, we're going to identify exactly what's under that point and then what the two nearest things are to it.
This is called a biodiversity survey. Through this method, researchers can get a sense of just about every species in the intertidal zone, that area between high and low tide that's home to sea anemones and sea stars, hermit crabs, and rockweed.
We have sites like this actually up and down the entire West Coast. Gives us a nice view of what the intertidal looks like here today.
But the project is also a window into the past, part of an effort to remind Sitkans that, in the words of Lisa Bush, director of the Science Center,
Sitka has a great connection to a very, very important chapter in the history of science.
That connection dates back to 1939, when Ed Ricketts and Jack Calvin published a book called Between Pacific Tides and transformed the study of marine biology.
What was so amazing about what they did was the way they grouped things together. They didn't just come up with a list of everything they saw. They grouped things together in terms of community, in terms of ecology. Well, this was not a word that was frequently used at the time in the 30s, and it was very, very controversial.
Ricketts and Calvin surveyed the intertidal zone from northern Mexico up to Sitka and organized plants and animals by habitat, grouping organisms together as they found them. This way of thinking about species, emphasizing the interconnectedness of animals and their environment, is so central to biology today that it's hard to imagine looking at the world without it. But at the time, Calvin and Ricketts had trouble even getting their work published. Now, more than seven decades later, the textbook is in its fifth printing.
Every marine biologist in the U.S. has it on their bookshelf.
For Ed Ricketts, coming up to Sitka was fundamental.
You can see that much of how Between Pacific Tides was put together, his thoughts really gelled and crystallized right here in Sitka.
Marnie Chapman is part of the natural sciences faculty at the University of Alaska Southeast.
But it's interesting to go back and realize that this is where it all came together for him, and he put it all together here, so that's really cool.
In the 1920s and 30s, Ricketts and Calvin were part of an intellectual circle in Monterey, California, that included the writer John Steinbeck, author of The Grapes of Wrath, the mythologist Joseph Campbell, and the composer John Cage.
Ed Ricketts, he was a real Renaissance man. He was really interested in where ideas and music and art overlap.
Ricketts became a cult figure after Steinbeck immortalized him in the novel Cannery Row as Doc Ricketts. Steinbeck wrote, "He wears a beard and his face is half Christ and half satyr, and his face tells the truth." There's now a life-size bust of Ricketts in Monterey. As for Jack Calvin,
Jack Calvin has kind of been forgotten in Monterey. Now, he's not forgotten here in Sitka.
Calvin married a woman from Sitka, Sasha Kashevarov, and the couple moved up here, where Calvin eventually became one of the founders of the Sitka Conservation Society and a leading force in the creation of the West Chichagof Wilderness Area. In 1932, Jack and Sasha Calvin brought Ricketts and Joseph Campbell up the coast from Puget Sound on their boat for a 10-week expedition surveying the intertidal zone.
So it'd be great to be a fly on the wall. Really interesting conversations, I bet, they were having.
That's Sitka-based marine biologist Jan Straley. Straley realized there had been no formal survey of the area's inner tidal zones since Calvin and Ricketts.
A light bulb just went off, and I said, we should just resurvey those areas because it was pre-sea otters. Pre-sea otters being reintroduced to Sitka Sound. It was pre-war. Who knows? You know, things could have been totally different.
So now, 80 years after Calvin and Ricketts did their survey, the Sitka Sound Science Center has partnered with researchers from UC Santa Cruz to return to many of the same places. The researchers will compare what they find now to Ricketts and Calvin's observations 80 years ago and establish a baseline for future studies.
This is the long-term survey, and this is done every year.
Besides the biodiversity survey, the researchers also set up plots on the beach for long-term monitoring. They'll return to these same plots year after year, taking photos and tracking changes. Melissa Miner is running the project.
That is to get an idea of what normal natural change is, and then if there's some disturbance, like an oil spill or something, then we'll have this record of the natural change, and we can compare that to what we see when a disturbance happens.
Lisa Bush says it's important for Sitka to remember its place in the history of marine biology and to continue that work going forward.
I think as a community that is so dependent on natural resources, especially ocean resources, we have a particular interest in the work of Ricketts and Calvin, the grandpas of modern marine ecology.
And that story was by KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz. You can find photos from the survey on our website at kcaw.org.